This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, the SiriusXM Channel 80. I said the SiriusXM Channel 80. What the hell is the matter with me? I read and speak English both fluently. I just don't always demonstrate it on the air. Anyway, and on your smart speaker, I'm about to give you the latest on Tiger. Got some thoughts on Tiger? You just want to talk about it? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Look, we all heard about Kobe. Kobe was one of those things. Everyone's going to remember where they were when they heard about it. It's one of those, you know, I don't want to trivialize larger world issues. But there were some people talk about the space shuttle, like Challenger, right, when it exploded. And I do actually remember where I was at that moment. But you hear from previous generations, JFK, Martin Luther King. You remember where you were when, you know, obviously 9/11. I got to tell you, I'll never forget where I was, what it felt like when I heard about Kobe. And when I saw the picture of the car with Tiger and started hearing the early details yesterday, I thought, oh, boy. So at this moment, even though we're hearing today that there's a, you know, real danger of infection, and that infection can be not only limb-threatening but potentially life-threatening, and so we're going to, you know, and it's going to be a long recovery, and you hope he does fully recover. And that's before you get to, can he ever play golf again? But, you know, all I can think of is, man, I would love for this to be the case with Kobe right now, where, you know, just imagine if that would, if you, after the helicopter, that he was the only one on the helicopter, no Gianna, no one else, and what you found out was it was his legs. And yes, there's a chance for infection, but, you know, so far so good. Oh, so I, you know, as bad as it is, in the sense that he's still not out of the woods, so to speak, for Tiger, boy, it could have been so much worse. Anyway, Tiger, and by the way, so the first level is, I'm going to take you through his kind of a timeline of his injuries. He's been through a lot, this the worst of all, but the first level is he alive? Check, he's alive. The next is, what's the prognosis, right? Again, it wasn't a head injury, it wasn't to an organ, it was his legs. I suppose that's what you want, and if there's a horrific injury, as far away from your head as possible, and you can't get farther away, it's his feet and his lower legs. Then it's, is he going to be okay going forward? Is he going to keep the legs? And you know, knock wood, there's the chance of infection, but there's also a very good chance of recovery, apparently. And you know, hopefully that. And then the next level is, what happened? And there's an investigation. And I have to remind you that in 2009, he crashed his car. In 2017, he was asleep at the wheel. Spent time in jail, right, before being released. And apparently, his explanation was he was taking prescription medication. That was a side effect. So we don't know what happened here. But in fairness, I mean, those are just facts. I don't want to paint a picture, oh, Tiger did something. In fairness, not only have we heard now from people in the area, but also from reporters on the scene who have driven that way themselves, apparently it's an extremely treacherous turn. Like the kind of, we've all been around, like, whoa, I didn't know I had to slow down that much to get around, like that kind of thing. And so after, okay, he's alive, then what's the prognosis? Then the next step is, you know, hopefully he keeps his leg, doesn't get infected. Then it's, what happened, right? What happened? How did this happen? And then it's, is the guy ever going to golf again? In 1994... in December, he had left knee surgery, Tiger, to remove two benign tumors and scar tissue. 8 years later, same month, December of 2002, he had left knee surgery again to remove fluid around the ACL and remove benign cysts. In August of 07, he ruptured his ACL in his left knee while running. In April of 08, he had arthroscopic surgery on his left knee. In May of 08, he had two stress fractures of his left tibia. In June of 08, so April, May, June, left ACL surgery 8 days after winning the U.S. Open. In December of 08, he injured his right Achilles tendon while running. Think about that. April, May, June, December, all in the same year. Arthroscopic surgery on his left knee revealed he had two stress fractures of the left tibia, left ACL surgery, and right Achilles tendon. 09, he crashed his SUV into a tree and fire hydrant. In May of 2010, he withdrew from the Players' Championship with a bulging disc in his back. And really, when you think about the end of Tiger Woods' prime, the back did it. Once your back goes, I had at one point two herniated discs with a third on the way. I've never felt excruciating pain like that. I've never been incapacitated like that personally. And even now, they're not herniated anymore. But just because of that, the injury in that area, it's always bothering me. I can't move around like I used to, for sure. And Tiger Woods had that in his back, and it affected him tremendously. In April of 2011, he injured his Achilles tendon at the Masters. In March of 2014, he had a back surgery and missed the Masters. In September of 2015, he had a second back surgery. In October of 15, he had a third back surgery to relieve discomfort. In April of 2017, so 2008 was a whole lot of 2015 or 14 and 15 too, back surgery, second back surgery, third back surgery, all within, 18 months. In April 17, he has a fourth back surgery where they fused his lower back. That's supposed to, when you have bulging discs, you want to avoid it. So the fact that he actually had that done, I haven't had that done. My mother had that done not long ago, and she's 82. You're supposed to put it off as long. I think, why not do it when you're young? No, they say put it off until you absolutely have to. So the fact that he got it in April of 2017 tells you how bad it was. In May of 17, he was arrested and briefly jailed for suspicion of DUI. That was when he said he had taken prescription meds and he didn't realize the side effects. He was asleep at the wheel of the car. In October of 17, he pled guilty to reckless driving and prosecutors dropped the DUI charge. In December of 2020, he underwent his fifth back surgery, but I should mention that once he got that back surgery, they fused his lower back. He won the Masters in 2019, the Masters, where it all started. Then in December, this last December, he had his fifth back surgery. And then finally, yesterday, he suffered multiple leg injuries. It sounds gruesome in a single car rollover accident. It sounds gruesome. When you hear compound open fractures, compound means the bone's broken in multiple places. Open fractures means the skin's broken. In the cartoon when they break their leg, but the bone is sticking out. And I'm hearing adjectives like crushed to describe what happened to his feet or his ankle. The doctor said that the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones were stabilized by inserting a rod into the tibia. Additional injuries to the bones of the foot and ankle were stabilized with a combination of screws and pins, said the doctor. Stefania Bell, ESPN's injury expert this morning on Get Up.
The first thing is to monitor for infection. They would have cleaned the wound, they put him on antibiotics, and they'll monitor his response. But there could be other soft tissue injuries elsewhere. And when you look at the big picture, it's really hard to make a projection at this point because this alone with the lower leg, we're talking months, not weeks, and you don't know what else he has to deal with as well.
There you have it. Marcus Spears now joins me, ESPN NFL analyst, of course, on the Goodyear Hotline. Marcus, I'm going to take a hard turn to football. Maybe before I do, you have any thoughts on Tiger you want to say before we start talking football?
Nah, man, just, you know, obviously praying for a speedy recovery and, you know, just reminds us how fragile life is, bro. I mean, that's it, man. Like, the thing that I thought was not again. And I immediately thought about Kobe and Gigi and the people that were on that helicopter that lost their lives in that tragedy. And I was like, don't do it again. Not like this. Not in that place. Not the similar, like, just everything was, like, horrific. And then, you know, obviously the positivity of finding out that he was alive, and I got a long road to recovery, man, but just glad Tiger's still amongst the living.
Oh, you said it, brother. I mean, you live long enough, what you find is you are not promised tomorrow. You know?
No, and, sir.
And all I keep thinking, Marcus, then we'll start talking football, is I mentioned it earlier in this show. I would do, like, people think, I'd do anything if – but I'll get personal. Like, I lost a brother, and I have a recurring dream where he's okay. Like, he lost a lot of time. He was in a coma or whatever, but he's okay. And in the dream, I tell him, Sam, but, you know, you're alive. And I hug him and I kiss him. And then I wake up into the nightmare because he's not.
Right.
And I think about Kobe, and I think that, you know, how great would it be if what you heard was he was the only person on the helicopter. It crashed,
right?
And his feet are all jacked up, and he's in surgery, and there's a chance for infection, but he's talking to people, and he's alive.
Yes, man.
Oh, what would you do for that to be the case?
You'll take it, man.
For Tiger. I'll take it.
No doubt.
Marcus Spears. So let's take the hard turn to football. Why do you think the Cowboys haven't signed Dak long term?
Max, initially I thought it was because they didn't think he was the franchise guy. I thought they were waiting for Dak to, quote-unquote, prove more about his impact. Obviously, we saw his impact when he was injured. You know, you don't miss what you got till it's gone. The second thing is there's a history in Dallas of not having to pay quarterbacks crazy money. Until Romo. Like, think about it. I tell people this all the time. Like, this is the first issue we've heard about with a contract negotiation with a quarterback from Dallas. Like, they had their issues with receivers and, you know, obviously Zeke and defensive guys, you know, trying to figure out how to find baseline and get deals done. But it's the first quarterback negotiation in a while for the Cowboys, especially unexpectedly. Like, they didn't. Let's be honest. They didn't think Dak would emerge as a top 10 guy in the NFL, and they would have to be talking about figures of 40 some odd million dollars a year or 37, 38, whatever you want the number to be. And then not only that, for Dak to have the business savvy along with his agent Todd France to try to get a shortened deal so they can be back up when the salary cap perceivably increases. So this is not. The simplicity of it should be, this is our franchise guy. We got to figure out a way to get it done. But it's almost like Dallas is caught off guard by having to pay a guy that they didn't plan on having to pay.
I think that's really good analysis, Marcus, in the sense, let me, this is my read of it, and I think this is why you're on the money. I think we're talking to Marcus Spears, of course, ESPN, NFL analyst extraordinaire. You know him from Get Up. You know him from First Take. You know him from NFL Live. You know, from the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir.
Marcus, so I think this is what happened. I think Dallas, you're exactly right. It's a fourth-round pick. Let's juice this rookie deal. Now we'll sign him up. And they were stupid. They should have signed him, like, to a 20-something million dollar, like, upper-middle-class deal earlier, right? And they would have saved money. But they let it get too late. And then they figured, we think Dak is a B+. We think he might eventually be an A, but we're not convinced yet. But two things happened to me, Marcus, that really increased Dak's leverage. The first is Andy Dalton. I was expecting a fall off, but not like that. Dak showed you the difference between him running the offense and a normal guy running the offense. Because Dalton's a good backup, you'd think, night and day. And I thought it would be the difference of maybe a game or two. No, night and day. So that gave him much more leverage. And the second thing is this. The NFC East is the worst division ever. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait a minute. We could run this division. So he has all this leverage that they didn't realize was going to be his. And listen, facts change as time goes on. You got to adjust. The Cowboys have not adjusted.
Max, you know the age-old saying, man. Like, we have contracts and negotiations in our business and people all over every other sector. Every business, every company should be trying to sign guys before they know they good.
Right.
Right? Because everything changes when you get more skin in the game and when you put more details into your resume and when you add more highlight reels. Everything changes. Like, so Dak is negotiating from a point now where not only did he get better and he continued to grow as a quarterback. So if you ask about work ethic, if you ask about if he's going to do the right thing, you've seen that already. You've seen the maturation process. You saw the response from the teammates when he got injured. That was their leader. Clearly, that was the guy that they followed. So that's another element, because I hear you and Stephen A talk about it all the time, about value beyond the field. Like, we all know Dak is the central figure for the Dallas Cowboys when it comes to football players. Every quarterback you could say is that, but it's not reality in the confines of that locker room. He's the central figure for the Dallas Cowboys. The other thing is this too, Max. The two guys that were drafted in the first round before him in the same year were paid and fell off a cliff. Dak been playing under that type of pressure his entire career. He's already been playing under that pressure.
Right.
Because he was not expected to be good, not expected to have to play not expected to have to quarterback a Tony Romo-built team, not expected to have success once Zeke wasn't playing well. Well, Zeke was out, Dak played well. Wasn't expected to have success this year with a beat-up offensive line. That's the thing, too, people don't mention. You know, Dak played behind an offensive line that wasn't supposed to be the one he was supposed to play behind. Still putting up 500-yard performances. Had some nine touchdowns, four interceptions. The dude damn near had 2,000 yards passing in five games, Matt.
Right.
He was the only reason the Cowboys were in some of those games, even late in some of those games. So, listen, his value increased without him being on the field, but I don't want people to get it twisted and think that somehow, because that got injured, that's when the value. No, his value increased when he showed everybody he was the top guy for the job in Dallas.
We got about 90 seconds here, Marcus. So let me ask you. Ed Werder was saying, hey, Cowboys have to think about drafting a quarterback at 10. And while I agree, if someone like Justin Fields or someone they love is at 10, take him. If a quarterback you love is there, take him. But otherwise, they got Dak in the fourth, brother. And they got the fourth round. And they got issues on this team. They need a defensive back. Dude, they need an offensive lineman. The reason the offensive line got to be what it was, 4 out of 5 years, they drafted one in the first round. That offensive line is not there anymore. They have a lot 100%. Of issues. What do you say about drafting a quarterback at 10?
Well, you know where I stand. I think you take one, to your point, if it's one you like. Because, Max, it's not about this draft. Obviously, you're trying to build out your team. But it also becomes about you don't know what the hell Dak is going to do. Dak may say, you know what, let me play under this tender and then hit free agency, man. Like, they don't know that. So while we talking about the contract negotiation, the team still has to look out for the team, right? I.e. signing Andy Dalton, a guy that you thought, to your point, could be a bridge between if the Dak situation didn't work out. So, yes, they should explore that. And if Justin Fields is there at 10 or potentially Trey Lance, and, you know, we don't think Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence will be there, Mac Jones may be there. You got to consider that, man. Like, because, look, you could build your offensive line and you could get guys to kind of fill out this roster. But we all know if you don't have a quarterback, you ain't going to have no success. Right?
Exactly
now,
right.
If you're saying, okay, we'll play this tender and we'll revisit this next year, that'll be – you know, that's conceivable. But the bottom line is them looking at a quarterback in the top 10 spots shouldn't be something that's taboo, man. They need to think about that. They literally might not have their franchise quarterback on the roster next year.
The great Marcus Spears, ladies and gentlemen. Always appreciate when
my
you come
brother.
On, bro.
Joining you already know it, man. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Check him out on NFL Live coming right up. It's a great show. Him and Mina Kimes, and you see Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark. You see a whole bunch of people pop up on that you want to hear from. Marcus Spears, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And by the way, coming up, we got to get into some NBA, and we're going to keep you posted on Tiger. I got some free advice for Jerry Jones. I'm going to tell him exactly what he needs to do. It's not hard. It'll make his problems go away right now. The NBA All-Star reserves were named. Did they get it right? And if you're going to say someone was snubbed, you got to tell me who you take off the team. It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract. All on America's best networks, up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Who is the biggest all-star snub?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Who's the all-star snub? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But you can't just tell me the snub. You have to tell me who you're leaving off. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, let me tell you real quick how Jerry Jones can fix this whole mess with Dak Prescott. Admit defeat. That's it. It's an ego thing at this point. And I understand why. Originally, I said, Dak is in the mid-20s, I'd give him. Because look what a mistake Wentz and Goff's contracts are. And this was even before I think Wentz signed, or maybe right around the time. I thought it was a mistake, thought Goff was a mistake to give him all that money. They're not elite. And Dak, same thing. I figured mid-20s. But then the facts change. You know, Dak got hurt. Andy Dalton stepped in. I thought that's a good backup. It's not as much of a drop as people think. It was a huge drop. And then the NFC East turned into the worst division like ever. So if you got a real quarterback, you have a huge advantage. You're going to go to the playoffs every year. You're going to host a home playoff game. You host a playoff game every year. You got a home playoff game. Huge leverage shifts in the negotiations for Dak. And Jerry's still holding on to this. And by the way, you owe him $37 million on a franchise tag this year. If you try to franchise him again, it's going to kill your cap, $53, $54 million. And the price keeps going up. Because if he can get $53 or $54 million from you in 1 year, and if you don't want to sign him, then he just walks and he can, as a free agent, everyone's bidding for him. Why would he take the same $40 a year he'd take right now? But Jerry, right now, he'll take a 3-year, $120 million contract. Lick your wounds. Admit you're wrong. Smile at the press conference. I was wrong. I got beat. And sign him. And by the way, when you by losing, you win. You have your quarterback, and now the whole drama's over. But you got to, and I don't think, like, there's some owners who take themselves so seriously they can't ever admit they're wrong. They can't eat crow. That ain't Jerry. Jerry could, his ego can handle it. It's right now, it's ego defense that Jerry's in, but he can handle it. Not every owner could. Jerry can. He can. He knows when he's been beat. And as long as he can admit he loses, he wins. And that's the answer to all your problems. 3 years, $120 million. And by the way, Jerry, they're going to want this and that and all these little details you're going to want. Forget it. They get everything. They just win this one. Next. We'll take some calls here. Well, let me talk about the NBA All-Star game.
No. Slow down.
What's that?
Myself and our technical leader, which is his official title.
Oh, yeah, Brandon, I did. I got course. I got you. Yeah, I
we,
got you.
We set you up so we could play some.
Well, it was my idea. It was my idea.
But it was our job and idea how to execute it. And you said,
I did not
want to
come in with it.
You blew it.
That's true,
okay,
but I didn't want to come with it.
Now we don't have it at all.
Now we are going to have it. This is what I wanted to play.
You need punishment.
Play it. Yeah. This is in honor of Brendan. Brendan, don't you like this music?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, right.
My favorite.
I knew it.
I'm bringing Kenny Rogers on the island.
What? Over Willie Nelson? Even I know if you're going to take a country dude, you take Willie Nelson. What's the matter with you? Kenny Rogers would tell you you take Willie Nelson. All right, listen. That's the point, though. You got to know when to fold them, Jerry. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them. All right, we don't need to hear the whole thing. Come on. Let's not get hysterical here. The point is, Jerry's got to know when to fold them. Fold them, Jerry. And now the NBA All-Star Game. The reserves were announced. Zion Williamson, Pelican Zion Williamson, is one of four first-time All-Stars, all revealed Tuesday night when the league announced the reserves for March 7 game in Atlanta. Joining him are fellow All-Star first-timers, Boston's Jaylen Brown, well-earned, New York's Julius Randle, and Chicago's Zach LaVine. Which was the biggest snub? It's easy. It ain't hard. It's Devin Booker out west. Who do you leave off? Well, I mean, Stephen A. got this one right, unfortunately. I hate it when he's right about something, but I couldn't debate this one. Chris Paul. They're on the same team, same backcourt. Booker's got to go. Look, he's got to be in the game. And by the way, I would leave out Paul George before I left out Devin Booker. And I know I'm usually on the other side of this argument. Paul George is an elite defender. He's having a great year. Statistically, he's better. All that. But it's an all-star game. You know who Devin Booker is offensively to me? He's like a mini Kobe Bryant. He can do anything you want offensively. And he's so spectacular. And by the way, he's playing on a team that is winning twice as much as they're losing. Well, Chris Paul. Yeah, but Chris Paul wasn't on the team last year when they went 8-0 in the bubble. 8-0. Devin Booker has to be on the team, period. You can leave out Chris Paul if you have to. You can give Paul George the boot. Devin Booker's got to be on the team. LA, you guys really want the Lakers. You really want them, I know. To sign a former All-Star, a certain one. I think you know who I'm talking about. But is it a mistake? Plus, we're going to get to your calls. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. So there's some Willie Nelson. So now that's four country songs I can name. That, what do we say? That, The Gambler, right? 9 to 5, Dolly
Gambler.
Parton, does that count?
Yeah,
Devil Goes Down to Georgia, that counts.
Ooh, yeah.
And although I may get the title wrong, is it went down, goes, go down to Georgia? I don't know. Those are four. I can name four country songs.
That's pretty good.
How many can you name, Raj?
The four you just did.
You know, it'd be interesting. And then you got to go to a spot where they like listen to a lot of country music, see how many rap songs, how many hip hop songs they can name.
Well, there's a contest I wanted to have between you and our technical leader, Brendan. He doesn't like hip hop at all and doesn't know anything about it. And you aren't necessarily into rock aside of Led Zeppelin. So I wanted to kind of have a contest where you had to answer different rock questions and he had to answer different hip hop questions
pretty good,
to see
actually,
which one was worse. Yeah. So we'll do that. It's one of those things I have jogged in my little notes and memory. Go ahead, though.
Should the Lakers bring back?
No. Progressive.
Oh.
Oh, no, you don't.
What? Progressive? What are you talking about?
No, we got to do the number and then pause for imaging so we could do the
plastic. Nice job producing on air. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Should the Lakers bring back DeMarcus Cousins is the question. The Rockets were reportedly happy with his effort and attitude. But Cousins' defense is a major problem, particularly against pick and rolls in space. And he hasn't really been DeMarcus Cousins, not Boogie Cousins, since the injury way back at this point. Should they take a look at DeMarcus Cousins? Here's John Wall on The Jump.
It's tough. You know what I mean, I understand it's a business. It's very tough for me. You know what I mean? That's somebody I call my brother outside of basketball. And I've been through the injuries he's been through, and he's been through the same as me. And it was fun to have an opportunity to play with him again. We haven't got a chance to play together since college. We really wanted the opportunity to do that. I know he's probably glad he's got an opportunity to show that he's back to being his old self. He can still play in his NBA, and he's not written off. So I wish him the best of luck. Hopefully he can find a job very soon.
Well, DeMarcus Cousins got offensive game. He can not only score, he can pass. He was a beautiful passer. Just great to watch him. I don't know that he's what the Lakers need right now. Reggie in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello?
Reggie, go.
Hey, yeah, Max, first of all, man, I enjoy watching you beat up on Stephen A. I just hope you keep up the good work. I just wanted to share your sentiments. I think Devin Booker is long overdue. He's averaged 26 points the previous two seasons. I would personally take Julius Randle off because this is really his first.
Well, I mean, I would too, but he's on the East. Hold on, slow down, Reggie. Me too, but he's in the Eastern Conference. So you got to look in the Western Conference. Now, if Julius Randle was in the Western Conference and you're like, take him off, even though he's a front court player, a power forward, and even the center in today's NBA, and just make someone else a forward instead of a guard, even if it's Booker, I would be with it. But he's in the Eastern Conference. Vucevic, too. Randle or Vucevic, neither one of those guys, and they're both good, are Devin Booker. But neither is Chris Paul, and I mean, Paul George, I don't know that he deserves it over Booker. He's a two-way player, but Booker is something special. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Max, you can say that Tiger Woods was the most impactful athlete on any sport in the history of sports. Because not only did he bring black people into watching golf, he brought white people into watching golf who would never watch. He had that much of an effect on his sport.
Well, solely. I would say that I don't think Tiger Woods has the most impact in the history of sports. I don't think he's Muhammad Ali I could think of, even before I get out of boxing, Jack Dempsey, Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali. That's three right there just in boxing. In baseball, I would say Babe Ruth for sure. Jackie Robinson, just to name two. I'd have to think about carefully if there's any others just in baseball. So that's five so far. Football, that's a good question. Is there a single football player who's had a big cultural impact as Tiger Woods? Good question. Basketball, Michael Jordan. For sure, Michael Jordan, and maybe a couple of others. But Tiger Woods listen, in my lifetime, having lived through the prime of the athlete, because Ali was around when I was a little kid, but I wasn't around for his prime, Michael Jordan, Mike Tyson, and Tiger Woods, those are the three that stood out from everybody else. And then recently, Serena, although I wouldn't say her worldwide fame is quite what the others were. Patrick in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, great show. I'm with you. Jury needs to sign Dak, do the $40 million, 3-year contract, and then 2 years in, renegotiate. Right. I just can't see Dak, leaving, and he's got to do it.
The key is Jerry's just got to bite the bullet. Listen, some owners' egos can't take admitting they're wrong. Jerry can do it. Jerry can be like, all right, fine, he won. Here's the money. He did that with Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith held out. They lost two games. He signed Emmitt Smith. They won the Super Bowl. Pretty easy. Reggie in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing?
Good, Reggie. What's up?
Listen, quick. I'm not I don't have a lot of stuff to send you this notice, but unfortunately, I'm a little nervous, so excuse me.
I know, I got you. Uncle. It's okay, Reggie. We got about 45 seconds. Just take a deep breath and start over.
I lost an uncle. I was up in his attic helping my cousin clean up, and we came across a March 8th, 1971 program from the Ali Frazier One fight.
50th anniversary coming up. Yep.
50 years. And I just wanted to get to you because I know you're the one guy who will make something out of that 50th anniversary of what some people still call the greatest sports event. It's, since we're making a lot of lists lately, the greatest sports event of all time.
It's up there. It's way up there. I'm sorry to hear about your uncle. I'm glad you found the poster. And Ali Frazier 1, 50th anniversary coming up. It's way up there. Ali Frazier 3, also Manila, was amazing. Boxing has a lot of big fights, but maybe none bigger than that one. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.